You may be seated. Well, please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're going to be reading the whole psalm this morning. Our focus is going to be on the fourth verse, the middle verse of Psalm 23, as I mentioned in the prayer. But we're going to read the whole thing. I encouraged you last Lord's Day to work on memorizing the psalm. And if you're able this morning, please feel free to recite it. We're going to read the psalm or recite it. I'm going to keep my Bible open before me because I've memorized it in different ways, and I think I'll probably get off if I try to say it. But give it a try. There's no judgment here with it. We simply want to confess these wonderful words together as we look to the Lord, our Shepherd. So if you're able to say it from memory, please do so. Otherwise, please read along with me here in Psalm 23, this beautiful psalm of David. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say it and read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw last Lord's Day that David begins Psalm 23 by singing about who the Lord is. He is a shepherd to his people. And because he is a shepherd, his sheep lack nothing. And so David sings not only about who the Lord is, but also about what the Lord does for his sheep. He makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. He leads his sheep beside still waters. He restores the souls of his sheep, bringing back their life. He leads his sheep in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Well, this is who the Lord is and what he has done for his sheep. These are the things of which David sings in the beginning of this psalm, and that brings David great comfort as he looks to what still lies ahead of him. Because you see, there is a place which David has yet to walk. And it's a dark place. A dark place where every one of us will one day walk. David describes it here as the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, should the Lord tarry, death will indeed come for every one of us. That day will come when I'll draw my last breath. That day will come when you draw your last breath. That day will come when we depart and go the way of all the earth. This, of course, is the terrible result of Adam's sin. Death comes to all. And we are deserving of it, not only because Adam's sin is our sin and his guilt is our guilt because we were represented in him, but also because of our own actual sins. The sins that we commit on a daily basis, the sins of commission, that which we do, the sins of omission, those things that we fail to do. As we heard this morning from the beginning of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It's what you and I deserve, every one of us. And so death is an enemy with whom we must reckon. It does no good to ignore it. It does no good to pretend it won't come. Wisdom is not found by ignoring death, but by counting our days. Indeed, the author of Ecclesiastes says it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. It's good to go to funerals, to take a walk from time to time through the cemetery. It's good to think about our own mortality. Not that we would become overly obsessed with death, but that we would learn how to live. And this is true. You see it not only in churches and among Christians, but you see it even in the world today. A number of years ago, there was a popular book written entitled 4,000 Weeks. That's how many weeks you have to live if you reach the age of 80. Maybe some of you have read it. And the whole point of that book is to be more productive with the time that we are given. And indeed, that's part of wisdom, learning how to live with the time that we're given. But for us as followers of Christ, we understand there's something even more important than being productive with our time. And that's learning the most important thing. And that is to believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe in Him. That is the most important thing in life and in death. It's something that changes everything else. To believe in Jesus Christ changes life and the way you live, but it also changes death and the way you die and the way you approach death. And you see echoes of that even here in Psalm 23, this Old Testament song. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Beloved sheep of the Good Shepherd, death is not your home. It's not your final resting place. David says, I walk through it. You don't try to avoid this valley. You need not cower in fear before this valley. But neither do you remain in this valley. Sometimes it can seem that way. When you stand at the grave of a loved one, it can seem so final. Maybe you've been there in the cemetery, attended the funeral service, and you go to the cemetery for the graveside service, and you see that open ground. And you've watched the casket of your loved one lowered into the ground, and maybe even after that graveside service, you took part in taking a shovel and putting some dirt back into that hole and filling that hole up again. It all seems so very, very final, doesn't it? You walk away from that cemetery and get back into your car and you're struck with that knowledge you'll never see that loved one again in this life. And your heart grieves. And you weep. And you know what's coming for you. That one day the casket will be yours. And it will be your body that's lowered in the ground. It all seems so very final. But David looks at all of this and says, I walk through that. He understands that death, for the sheep of the Good Shepherd, death is not the end. In fact, with the fullness of the revelation of God's Word, we know that death is not the end in many ways. It is the beginning. In the Chronicles of Narnia, in his last book, The Last Battle, C.S. Lewis says that this life is but the title page to a story that goes on and on and on, in which every chapter is better than the one before it. What a perspective that this life, these 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years that we live here is simply a title page. Only the beginning of the story. The Heidelberg Catechism in question and answer 42, I think, puts it even more beautifully still. It says, since Jesus has died for us, why do we still need to die? And the answer is, death does not pay the debt of our sinning. Christ has paid that. But here's what death does for us. It puts an end to our sinning and is our entrance into eternal life. And you see the wonderful transition that has taken place for the follower of Christ, for the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Death, this great enemy, now serves us. It's that point at which we never will sin again. It's that point at which we enter into heaven. As Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, we are not simply conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In Christ Jesus, we don't only defeat death, but death now serves us. It's that which God uses to bring us into the presence of Jesus. And so in many ways, you can say that Psalm 23 and verse 4 is the Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8. And yet it is a valley, isn't it? Yes, we walk through it, but it is a valley. And we feel something of that tension here, even in Psalm 23, verse 4, that tension between the fact that we are conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also recognizing that death is real. It is a valley. It is a low point. If you've walked there with a loved one, you know this. You know just how dark this valley can be. Grief is real. Sorrow is profound. And we don't fully get over grief and we don't fully get over sorrow and the loss of a loved one until Resurrection Day. When Jesus saw Mary weeping at the death of her brother Lazarus in John chapter 11, we read there that Jesus was deeply moved and greatly troubled. In fact, in the Greek, it comes through even more powerfully. It says he was indignant in the face of death. Filled with rage, if you will, in the face of death. And then when they brought him to the place, he wept. And if Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, wept at the tomb of a friend he was about to raise, then it's certainly appropriate for us to weep in this deep valley. And yet we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And again, we're brought back to that great comfort that is ours, even in the valley. You see, we not only walk through it, but this valley is the valley of the shadow of death. For the sheep of the Good Shepherd, it is not death in all of its fullness and in all of its horror and in all of its terror. Why not? Because our shepherd has laid down his life for the sheep. Octavius Winslow, Puritan of old, wrote this. He said, Death was to Jesus not what it is to us. But to Jesus it was an unrepealed, unmitigated curse. He met not the shadow of death, but the substance of death. Not the phantom of death, but the reality of death, suffering countless million of deaths in one. And again, you think of Jesus' willingness to go there for his sheep. As he stood there in John 11, before the tomb of Lazarus, he commanded the stone to be rolled away from the tomb of Lazarus. And as he looked into the darkness of the grave, he summoned Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus came forth, but Jesus was doing even more than that. Not simply summoning Lazarus to come forth. Jesus stood in the face of death and summoned death itself to come forth. He looked the last great enemy in the face and said, "Come, death, and I will be your death." And in John's Gospel, you may recall, the only Gospel that records the death and resurrection of Lazarus, it's the resurrection of Lazarus in John 11 that becomes the occasion for Jesus' death. His enemies say, "He raised the man from the dead. Let's put him to death." The folly of sinners. It's a reminder to us that our shepherd has been here. He's walked this valley. For him, it wasn't the valley of the shadow of death. For him, it was death itself. In all of its horror. In all of its terror. The unmitigated curse he bore. He's been here. And he is the death of death. And so for us, it's not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. And boys and girls, you know what's needed for a shadow, don't you? Light. You can't see a shadow in the dark. Light is needed for a shadow. And the light that is here in this valley is nothing less than the light of the resurrection. The light of the resurrection pierces the darkness of this valley. It drives the darkness away so that it is only a shadow. And as Spurgeon put it, a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. You may see a dark shadow on the sidewalk, a dark shadow in your pathway, and you walk right through it. And that's David's point here. We walk through this valley of the shadow of death. But it's also true that while it is a shadow and while the light pierces the darkness, it's not all light here. The shadow is deep and it's dark. It is the shadow of death, after all. And death is not natural. Death is an enemy. Sometimes I think we can forget that here in our modern day. So often when you go to funerals now, you'll read of funerals as celebrations of life. And that's true. We do rejoice and we celebrate a life that has been lived. But death is an enemy. And it's not natural. If you've seen a person dying, you know what an enemy death is. It's ugly. It's heinous. It's an enemy, but a defeated enemy. And the one who defeated it is the one who walks with us through it. And you see that so beautifully here in Psalm 23. The one who defeated death is the one who walked through this valley before us. And so David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me." You see, beloved, there is one reason only that you need not fear death. And it's because the shepherd is with you. David puts it so beautifully here in Psalm 23. There in verse 4, he says very simply and literally, "I will fear no evil, for you with me." There are times when I wish we could all read the Hebrew, the original, because it's so, so beautiful here in Psalm 23 in verse 4. Those three words, "you with me," are two words in Hebrew. Two words that are literally bound together. You with me, the word me is literally connected to the word with. So that we are literally bound together with our shepherd, the shepherd and his sheep bound together. There is literally nothing between them. So close is the presence of the shepherd with his sheep. You with me. In fact, that phrase, you with me, here in Psalm 23 and verse 4, is the literal center of this psalm. In the Hebrew, there are 26 words before the phrase, you with me, and there are 26 words after the phrase, you with me. All of the psalm is focusing in, zeroing in on this great and central statement, you with me, so that in the center of this psalm is the central message of the psalm, you with me. The shepherd has bound himself to his sheep. And he has bound his sheep to himself. And there's nothing that can separate you from him. Not even the last great enemy of death itself. It's why I've said Psalm 23 is in many ways the Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of your shepherd. Not even death. In fact, the presence of our shepherd here in this valley is so great. Perhaps you noticed a little bit of a change as you came to verse 4 here in Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles open yet, or you're thinking upon the words in your own mind, look again at this psalm and notice there's something that changes here in verse 4. Up to this point in the psalmist has been describing the shepherd, speaking about the shepherd, who he is and what he does. But now in verse 4, look at the turn that the psalmist takes. Now he's no longer speaking about the shepherd. He's speaking to his shepherd. You with me. He's so close. He can speak to him. The one who laid down his life for you. The one who defeated death for you. That one is with you. And you are not alone. And I want to just focus in on that for a moment with you this morning. Here is David picturing himself walking that path that he has yet to walk, that path he knows is coming. He's picturing himself walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He is picturing and thinking upon the day of his death. But it's not death that fills the scene. It's his shepherd that fills the scene. So close is his shepherd, he can speak to him in the valley. And you see, that makes all the difference in the valley, doesn't it? It makes all the difference in the dark when you know there's someone there walking with you. It makes all the difference in death itself when you know your shepherd is with you. Even in death, especially in death, whether it be when you are mourning the death of a loved one, to know your shepherd is with you, or whether you're facing your own death, to know your shepherd is with you. You with me. Sometimes we speak of the fact that the Lord gives to His beloved sheep a dying grace. Maybe you've seen that. I know I've seen it at various times in ministry, where the Lord gives a dying grace. In those last months or weeks or even days of life, there is a peace that God gives that sheep maybe haven't known the depths of before. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that guards their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A dying grace. There's this sense in which the shepherd is drawing them ever closer to his side with his tender cords of love. And often that dying grace that he gives is nothing less than himself. He gives His own presence. Again, I love the way that Octavius Winslow put it when he said that Jesus' death has essentially and entirely changed the character of yours. Death cannot sting you. Christ has died. The grave cannot hold you. Christ is risen. Sin cannot condemn you. Christ has atoned. Satan cannot touch you. Christ has conquered. The Good Shepherd has conquered death, and He will not allow death to conquer His sheep. And to assure you of that, look with me finally at what He carries in His hands. You see it there at the end of the psalm. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here is David picturing himself walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's speaking to his shepherd. He's already said, I fear no evil because you are with me. And as he looks at his shepherd, he sees that his shepherd is carrying tools in his hands. In the one hand, he carries a rod. In the other hand, he carries a staff. And as David looks to those tools in his shepherd's hand, he says, I am comforted. First of all, the rod. The shepherd would use the rod for two things. In the first place, he would use the rod to count his sheep. It said that at the end of the day, as a shepherd would lead his sheep into the fold, he would hold up his rod and the sheep would pass under that rod. And as the sheep passed under that rod, the shepherd would say the sheep's name and he would count his sheep to make sure that there was not a single one of his sheep missing. And so the rod of the shepherd is a great comfort to us. It's a reminder to us that He knows us. He knows you. He knows your name. He's numbered the very hairs of your head. Not a single one of them can fall to the ground apart from His good and perfect will. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. He knows you. He knows you by name. But then that rod, which is such a comfort to the sheep, that rod that reminds us that He counts us, that He knows us by name, that He gathers us into His fold, that He does not allow any of us to go missing. That rod was also a great terror to the shepherd's enemies. Because with that rod, He also defends His sheep. With that rod, He drives away all the enemies of the sheep so that not a single enemy can touch any one of His sheep, not even the last great enemy of death itself. And so the rod was there and it comforted the sheep. And in the other hand, the shepherd would hold his staff. And of course, with that staff, he leads his sheep. He leads you. We've seen that so abundantly already in this psalm in the opening verses as the shepherd leads beside green pastures, as he leads beside still waters, as he leads in paths of righteousness. We'll see it in the second part of the psalm as He continues to lead and guide with His mercy and grace, even all the way to the house of the Lord. Well, He's leading also through the valley of the shadow of death. When you walk that valley, you can be assured of this. This is no mistake. Death is never a convenient thing. It's never on our timing. But He makes no mistakes. He leads there when it's time for Him to lead you there. And you walk there when it's time in His good providence for you to walk there. And for your loved ones who have gone before you, it's in His timing. He makes no mistakes. And when you walk here in this valley of the shadow of death, you walk here because your shepherd leads you here. And He's walking with you. And He's leading you. And He knows the way. He's been here. He knows the way. He's walked this path on his own, confronting death in all of its reality, in all of its substance. And he's walked this path with so many of his sheep, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's walked this path with many of his sheep, and he's never left a single one of them there. He knows the way. He knows where he is leading you. This is not your final resting place. He's leading you to the house of the Lord. Your shepherd is not lost, and he'll not let your soul be lost. And so the rod and the staff of the good shepherd comfort his sheep. And we can come back then for a moment to that first phrase of verse 4, where David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. To walk means progress. You're going somewhere. We're going to look, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day at where we're going, at what is that before us, at what lies before us, even the house of the Lord forever. But I want you to see before we get there that we are walking through this valley. Our shepherd is leading us through this valley. Spurgeon put it so beautifully when he said, to walk indicates the steady advance of a soul which knows its road, knows its end, resolves to follow the path, feels quite safe, and is therefore perfectly calm and composed. And all of this because our shepherd is with us. Beloved sheep of the good shepherd, here in the center of this beloved psalm, you learn a wonderful truth. Not only does your shepherd know your name, but here we learn our shepherd's name. It's Emmanuel, God with us. You with me. And because death could not defeat him, it cannot defeat you. You are his beloved sheep. And to assure you of his love and of his abiding presence, to assure you that he is with you, he spreads a table for you. A table where he gives you grace. A table where he gives you himself. Oftentimes you find inscribed on communion tables, even as we have it here, those words, "Do this in remembrance of me." But you know, communion tables could be just as well inscribed with those central words of Psalm 23. You with me. Because here at the table of our King, the table of our Shepherd King, this is what Jesus is saying to you and me, his dearly loved sheep, his blood-bought sheep. He is saying to you and me, I am with you. And you are with me. And nothing can ever separate you from him. May that be a great comfort to you, wherever you may be at in your pilgrimage. And may it be especially a comfort to you when you walk through that valley, even to the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we are so thankful for this beautiful psalm. And so thankful for that wonderful comfort that is ours. That you are with us. that you are with us always, even in the valley of the shadow of death, in that place where we think that finally and at last we will be separated from you, that finally and at last our great enemy will win the victory. And yet even here, we're reminded of that wonderful truth, that you are with us, that you've walked this path before us, that you are the one that leads us and guides us through it, that the light of the resurrection pierces the darkness of this valley. And so, Father, whether we are here this morning grieving and mourning and sorrowing over the death of a loved one, whether it be in days or weeks, months, years, maybe even decades ago, or whether we are perhaps struck with a bit of fear or anxiety as we contemplate our own death, may this wonderful truth encourage us, strengthen us, and comfort us, that there is a word that is stronger than death itself, and it is your word, that promise that you are with us. Father, as we come to the table this morning, would you sign and seal that wonderful truth to our souls as we commune with Christ, the power and presence of the Spirit by faith alone. Would you lift us up and grant to us that fair meeting with Christ. And may we know that there is coming a day when we shall sit down at the great wedding banquet of the Bride and the Lamb. And we shall feast forever with you. Hasten that day, we pray, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.